unexpected. Would you leave after all we projected? A child in a manger. Lonely and small, the weakest of all, around life we as a fear, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is it too late?
So much for giving us a way, Lord, just for giving us a way of hope, Father, that something so amazing should come down in a very humble way. Father, help us to understand humility and love and forgiveness, Father. I just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit just surrounds us, Lord, and does fill us with that hope, Lord God, that we need to look forward to.
Taste to bring him love, the faithless. Come to thee, O Israel.
praise you, Lord. Father, we just give you this night, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can be here with friends and family and brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. I just pray, Father, that as we get together, Lord God, and we give each other presents, and we do reflect on the love and the life that you've given us, Father. And we just praise you just for Jesus Christ. And the reason that we're celebrating this time of year, Lord God, the reason we celebrate our salvation every single day of our lives, and for some of us every hour, for some of us every single minute and second, Lord, and I do just praise you. And I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Father, that hasn't fully given their heart, Lord, or they just may not even know what's the point. Who cares? Why should I? Father, we pray that you speak to them tonight, Lord, and I pray, Father, they can feel your love and your peace tonight, Lord. And we do give this night to you. Amen. Amen.
Well, as Josh is getting set up for a second, guys, you know, I just want to encourage you. You know, the Lord just gave me a verse. I'm sure you guys know it. I didn't know where I was going when he gave it to me when we were worshiping, but just in Isaiah 7, you know, it's just, you guys I'm sure have heard this before, but here he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will be called Emmanuel. And I know we've got all different folks here, and Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus was so much, he was a good teacher, yes, but he was so much more. He was a good man, but he's so much more. He was a good leader, but he's so much more. He is God with us. God coming down to speak to us in a way that we would understand, humbling himself in the form of a man, the creator of the universe, coming down to be able to speak to you, to me, because he loves us. And not only that, but living a perfect, sinful life that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God who loves us. It says in Isaiah 9, it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I love that. He's called the Prince of Peace. And right now, what I know, in this season, if you're like most humans on the planet, you know what everybody is lacking? Peace. Isn't that true? Let's be honest. And maybe that's even you here today. Maybe things are frazzled in your life. Maybe you've got lots of pressure. Maybe people are just ticking you off. Maybe it's that person at the Walmart parking lot who just stole your spot or laid on the horn as you were coming to church. Come on! Or maybe you were that person. Either way, the only thing that's going to help anyone here today, the only thing, you got a wonderful family, praise God for that. You got wonderful kids, you got a great job, wonderful. You got a great church, wonderful. But the only thing that's going to bring peace in anyone's life is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And that means he can give you that peace right in the middle of your situation, right where you're at right now. He is the King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the peace bringer in your life. So we're going to take a minute, and we're going to pray for that right now. And then we're going to let Josh... Gary, do you have a word and you feel led to pray?
Father, tonight we come to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior. But we should also be mindful of the death that he made for us, Lord. And at the time of his death, you tore the curtain of the temple from top to bottom, opening up heaven to us. And so, Lord God, let us all tonight look up to you with open hands and open hearts. accepting the gift that you've given us, the gift of the Savior. It's in His name.
Is this on?
Yes. All right, good evening. When Darren asked me to share, I was actually very excited this time. Usually I dread it, but this is my favorite time of the year. And, you know, as I walk around and do shopping, I just notice everybody is a little bit happier, a little bit more merry, you know, for the most part. And I've also noticed that, you know, people are saying Merry Christmas more this year than other years. There's just something about Christ in Christmas, you know, that brings that hope, even to those that aren't saved or don't know the full story. There's something about the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth that just brings joy and that peace. And so I'm very excited. I'm just going to put up some prayers to you. Lord, I just please help me, Lord. And it's just such an honor to be up here to talk about the greatest gift on earth, Lord, and that was your Son. And I'm just so thankful. I just pray that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, and those words that aren't from you, that people will just forget whatever I say, Lord. And, again, we just give this night. We thank you for this fellowship. I just thank you for this church family. Amen. So I was praying to the Lord, Lord, what should I teach? You know, it's easy to go to the Christmas story, and I was like trying to stay away from that, and I just kept getting led back to the Christmas story. And I was just thinking, I was over at my mom's house, and I saw her little manger set, you know, and it looked so cozy and so warm. And I thought, let's unpack that perfect package called Christmas. You know, let's really dive into the scripture and see what Mary and Joseph had to go through. See how Jesus was born and the trials and the suffers that he went through. So we're going to start at the very beginning of Matthew. Now, I got really excited about teaching tonight, so I think I have way too much material. So I'm going to be looking over at my wife here and there for the cutoff point. So they're hungry. So I will be mindful to look over there. I know I am hungry. But what a love story that is written for us. You know, it has your scandal. It has your drama, your tragedy, and your action. And so I'm so excited to talk about the birth of Jesus, because it's something that I think is a wonderful love story written for us, and it was true. And we're going to start in Matthew 1 with the genealogy. Now, I don't know about you, oftentimes I skip right over this, because boy, does it look boring. There's so many names, and I'm just going to go into it just a little bit tonight. But I just think of my family. You know, I have a crazy uncle and there's the crazy aunt. Genealogy can be a very awesome thing and then a very embarrassing thing. And I think it's so interesting how this is in Matthew at the very beginning. And I was reading one of John Corson's, I think it was one of his commentaries. It was pretty neat that this genealogy here, I think it's worth reading and taking note with it, because it survived some unsurvivable things. This is the only genealogy that traces itself back to the throne of David. And everything else was destroyed. All the other genealogies were destroyed when Rome sacked Jerusalem. And this survived. And this traces Jesus all the way back to King David. And even further, but it fulfills the prophecy. And so something that has survived that is worth noting and worth diving into. And most families, you know, I found this kind of a saying, families are like fudge, mostly sweet with some nuts, you know. And if I were to, as you dive into this and you look where Jesus came from, you're going to see some sweetness and some nuts. And I think it's important for each one of us, because each one of us comes from such a different background. And some things we're not too proud of, some things we're really proud of. And so I'm just going to kind of skim over one here. But it's neat. It starts with Abraham. And Abraham made some promises to the Lord. And we're going to get more into those promises and those visions that the Lord gives us. Sometimes you may never see them happen, even though it's been given to you. You only see a glimpse of it. And with Abraham, he was promised a lot. You know, that his seed was going to be numbered as the sand, and it was going to save the world, basically. But Abraham, even though given that promise, having that relationship with the Lord, we saw some flaws there, too. We saw some fear that crept in. I don't know if you remember with his wife when they went to Egypt. He had a lie that Sarah was his wife. And but you also saw some real strength there too, of trusting the Lord and what he had to do with Isaac. And so we see this. Each one of us, I think, can relate to someone in this genealogy, and I think it's very important that the Lord can use each one of us. So then you go to Jacob, and if you remember the stories with Jacob, you know, he wrestled with God. He even sent, when he had to go meet his brother Esau, you know, this was the man that was called Jacob, whose name was in Israel. He had to go send his family before him to meet Esau because he was so scared of what his brother was going to do to him. So you have fear there. And I know there's times in my life where I have fear. I'm like, hey, can you just do it? You know, and it's real embarrassing to me because I'm a man, you know. I like tools. I like to fix things. And there's times where I have fear. And I can really relate to Jacob, you know. But Jacob loved the Lord, you know, and there were some flaws. But the Lord used Jacob in the genealogy to Jesus Christ. And then what's really neat is you have some women in this genealogy. And from what I gathered, it's really rare to have women included in genealogy back then. It just wasn't something that you did. And I love how the Lord, again, adds all these things. Because the Jewish people were very prideful people. You know, we were God's chosen people. And yet the Lord is not ashamed to mention all the flaws of his people and what they did. Because he can use you. He can make those weaknesses strength. And so you have Tamar, and that's the first woman mentioned in this genealogy. And what she did was her husband died, and the custom back then was for the brother that wasn't married, next kin, was to marry her and provide the son to carry on the name. Well, none of them did, so she had to play the harlot. And so here you have another blemish, you know, but then here the Lord still uses Tamar to bring Jesus into this picture. And then you have, let's see, and then you have Rahab, again, another woman mentioned here, who also played the harlot. But if you remember, when Joshua went in, Rahab hid the spies to spy out the land. And then she lowered them down, but she asked for this promise, please save me, you know, from when the destruction comes. And she did. And so throughout this whole thing, I'm not going to go through it all, but you have Hezekiah, who was an awesome king. And then you have his son Manasseh, who wasn't so awesome at all. I mean, he was terrible. And I was just reminded when I was reading that with my kids, you know, I love the Lord. And I tell them about the Lord. I teach them about the Lord. But boy, you know, I also want to be that example and continue to impress upon them the mercy and love of God. I don't know what happened with Manasseh, why he turned so bad. But what Manasseh did, here you have Hezekiah, who honored the Lord, loved the Lord. Then you have his son become king. And he builds all these fake gods, these Ashtaroth poles and Baal, in the temple, in the sanctuary of God. And he also burned his sons in the fire. He did some really, really evil things. And so, but yet he's in this genealogy. And my whole point here is the Lord can use each one of us here. We don't have to have this pristine kind of genealogy, this we are so great. He's going to take you right where you are and use you. You know, there's in my own family, there's been a lot of alcoholism. You know, my own father was, and that tore my family apart. You know, there's been a lot of divorce in my family too, and just a lot of things that have been rough. But the Lord can use each one of those things in our lives for his kingdom. The enemy just wants to abuse you and whisper those things that you'll never be good enough no matter how hard you try, and he'll use those things against you. And just look where Jesus came from and the people the Lord used. So there's hope for you. Whoever suffers with not feeling righteous enough, you don't have to do anything. The Lord's going to take you right where you are, and he's going to help you with that and overcome those things. And so I just wanted to gloss over that because, wow, you know, when I think of this King of Kings, the Lord of Lords coming to earth, I think, man, you know, there must be some really awesome people along the line. But they're just us. God used just regular people that struggled with the flesh, struggled with serving and trusting him. And so, again, a few nuts and there's a lot of sweetness. Now, we're going to start in Matthew 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed. And basically, back then in the Jewish custom, you were married legally. Now, you didn't consummate that marriage, but that was your wife. And so here we start this story. It's a real joyful story. I mean, marriage is an awesome thing. I mean, for me, when I couldn't wait to get married to my wife, we were engaged. And what seemed like forever to me, we only waited a month to get married from when we were engaged, but it seemed like an eternity for me. And so here is this happy time. And back then, what the husband would do, or the soon-to-be, he would start preparing a place for his wife to come. This was like a huge, huge ordeal that would happen here. And so, and then they would plan the festival and all these things, and the whole community was involved in it. So you have this backdrop of this preparation that's about to happen, this glorious, awesome thing. And so you think, man, Joseph is probably riding pretty high. I'm going to be a husband. And I really believe Joseph loved Mary. Back then, oftentimes these marriages were arranged and everything. And then you're going to find out here soon why I think Joseph truly loved Mary. And so talk about a heartbreaker of the news he's going to find out next and how to deal with it. So they're betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she is found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Wow. So that ruins all those plans right there. What is that all about? And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. And to me, that shows the love he had for Mary. You know, we're going to find out a little bit about Mary if time permits. But I think she was an honorable woman, too, who loved the Lord. I mean, he chose her for this mission. And so you have Joseph that just, I think, absolutely loves Mary. He's a just man, but I think of it as a just man like the Lord is just to us. His mercy is so full for us. You know, the right thing for him to do was just to condemn us all. None of us are worthy. The best we can do is filthy rags. But yet, his mercy comes in. He's long-suffering. He loves us and wants the best for us. And I think with Joseph, it was such a heartbreaker. But even hearing this news, to him, he still loved Mary. And so he was just going to divorce her quietly. And back in Deuteronomy, 22:20, this kind of offense that he found out Mary did, you could be stoned for that when you're found with a child without being married. And so he could have done that and it reacted that way. But what did he do? He was unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly, but as he considered these things. And that really stuck out to me, considering these things. So often I react right away to something going on in life. I just don't ponder. I just don't take a break and say, Lord, what is going on here? And I like how Joseph did this, is he considered these things, and as he's considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And I don't know if Joseph fell asleep or how this dream came about, but I think it's awesome that as the distractions around him, he quieted down and he was pondering these things that were happening in a dream. And then that dream came to him, and the angel saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I also believe Joseph really loved the Lord, because to have a dream like that, you know, if I were to wake up from that dream, I'd be like, that is a crazy dream. You know, I don't even know what that means. That's, you know, from the Holy Spirit. But I think there's a relationship there to begin with for that dream to be able to get in Joseph's heart and for him to believe. Because it'd be much easier for an angel just to appear to me right then here while I'm awake, you know, and then, whoa, okay, I understand. I get it. But a dream, to me, you have to really trust the Lord already to understand that he works through that. So the dream, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. So here we see now Joseph excited about being married, been planning probably for a year for this to happen. And then now his dreams are dashed. And now he has a dream of something huge and big that's almost unbelievable, but yet he believes it. And that Jesus will save people from their sins. And then all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. I think of how the Lord, like we were talking about Abraham, like Abraham didn't get to see this promise of Jesus come forth, but yet he was promised that something big was going to happen. And oftentimes with us, when we feel like the Lord put something on our heart, we want to see these results so fast and so soon. And we almost steal that thing that that vision the Lord gave to us, and we make it our own. And sometimes that falls, most of the time it falls apart. But here, Scripture fulfilled, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is from Isaiah. I mean, you're talking, what, like 700, 800 years before this was prophesied. And I think Darren had said this one time before, that these scriptures that have been fulfilled about Jesus, I think there was about 350 that prophesied about what Jesus' birth, what he was going to do and accomplish. And what's that book called? Is it More Than a Carpenter? That we're talking about the historicity of these things. A great book, by the way, if you want to see what the probability of these prophecies coming true. And basically, if only 8 of those 350 prophecies came true, it'd be 10 to the 17th power. Now, that's above my pay grade. I don't even know. Yes?
Well, I would start an analogy of how likely it is for a prophecy to come true. It's like taking the entire state of Texas, filling it up 2 feet high with quarters.
Exactly,
if
yeah.
If you walk around the state of Texas, blindfold yourself, pick up one quarter. That one quarter is one chance of it being prophesied.
I think it's 2 feet. That would be, it'd be 2 feet deep, and there were silver dollars. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you that you refreshed my mind there. And so, anybody that struggles with this story that's been given to us and the prophecies in the Bible, you can't find anything like this. This is awesome that these were fulfilled. It's recorded for us to read. And part of my early Christian walk, I really struggled with, is this true? How can I believe? And the more you dig in, and the more you allow the Lord to fill you with the Scripture and His Word, and really have a heart that hungers, you can see how awesome He is, that He is a patient God. But these things are fulfilled. And it took Isaiah talking about the virgin bearing the son. And then all those years later, this happens, and these prophecies are fulfilled. And I think it's just an amazing thing. All right, we're in Matthew 1:24 now. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I think that's so neat, again, the obedience. Obedience to God is what makes us useful in the kingdom. It really does. It's one of the hardest things that I deal with. It's just being obedient, just listening to Him. Because so often, you think that the Lord gives you something that's going to be this easy cakewalk. And you want it to be. Nobody likes to suffer. And I look at here where how Mary and Joseph have already had to suffer so much. You figure that they're in the town that they're in, here she's with child. Two things are happening here. Either they're thinking Joseph and her did something they shouldn't have done, and she's with child. Or that Mary did something without Joseph that she shouldn't have done, and she should be stoned. And this is not an easy walk for either of those two people. And oftentimes, more than often, because we're promised that we're going to suffer persecution and hardship, that things are not going to be easy for us. And we can look all the way back to the day Jesus was born. It was not easy for Him or for Mary and Joseph for this plan to be fulfilled. So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I don't think I have to explain that. And now we're going to go to Luke 1. And I really like Joseph, by the way. I think, oftentimes we talk about Mary, and I think they were a great team. I think he was a great husband. He loved his wife. And he followed the Lord. Okay, we're going to be in 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man, whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, we don't know much about Mary before this. All I can think is they lived a simple life. They weren't rich. They didn't have everything going for them. Joseph was a carpenter. And so, here, I'm going to take one more. Sorry. So you have Mary here who just, I think, loved the Lord. That was it. You know, that's really what's required of us. And the Lord will use us how He wants. And so, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Here's the teamwork. here she's discerning, you know, thinking, what can this be? I think it's so important when we feel the Lord is speaking to us. Is he? Can we throw it up against Scripture and his word? And that's what Mary is doing. She's discerning what sort of greeting this might be. Each one of us has to do that when the Lord speaks to us. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And I think, again, I don't know how any of us would take this news. I would not handle it as well as Mary and Joseph did. I think, again, they truly loved the Lord, that they knew his voice, and they wanted to follow his will, and they said, okay. All right, now we're going to move to Luke 2. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when," whoever could say that name, "Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town." I think just how the Lord used Pharaoh with Moses. Here he's using Caesar Augustus to bring these people back, to bring Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem, again to fulfill a prophecy over 700 years ago. And the Lord can do that. He can use anybody. And he did. And so they're going back to Bethlehem. "And all were to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Now you got Mary's pregnant. Now they have to go to Bethlehem, because that's where he was born. And that's where the city of David is. And that's what you learn from the genealogy. And that's about a 90-mile hike. Now, I don't know the travel. You know, I don't know if Mary was on a donkey or not. Probably she was. But being pregnant and having to make that 90-mile trip would be so hard. And here, I don't know what happened in the town that they were in. Again, we talked about what's going on. Are people pointing fingers? Are people talking? And now they have to travel this long distance being pregnant. I remember my wife with our first child, it was, you know, you barely could go 2 miles away from the house, you got to turn right back around to head home because of morning sickness. It is rough. It is hard. And yet they had to make this trek all the way to Bethlehem. And so, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So we're at number 5, chapter 2, verse 5 of Luke. "To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger." Again, with that manger, that could be a stall, that could be a hole, a cave where they keep the animals, but nothing pretty at all. To me, I worked at a dairy farm one time, and where all the cows were and all the livestock, it was nasty. It was my worst part of working on the farm. You know, lifting 50 to 80 bales of hay, you know, 80-pound bales of hay all day, I'll do that more than going to the where the cattle were to shovel manure. It just was nasty. It was smelly. And here, this is where Jesus is born. This is where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is born. And I think it's so awesome, because I think some of us are in that stall. Some of us are in that manure right now with that sin just covering us. It's so nasty. And he came for you. He came for you to be saved. And he didn't come and born in a palace. He came lowly and humble so he can be for all of us and save each one of us. And I think it's just remarkable of how he came into this world. And so they laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now this is where I might add some of my own commentary, because I'm not sure. But I was thinking about this. They're going back to Bethlehem, which is where Joseph was born, is where all his other family has to come to. Now, the interesting thing to me is there was no place for them in the inn. Usually the inn is a second room floor of a house where a guest would stay. And this isn't a really big city. But to me, there had to be family there, don't you think? It couldn't have just been Joseph and Mary going by themselves. you know, there had to be other uncles, aunts, relatives there. And it was known that Mary was the child and that she was probably in the last stages of childbirth, and yet there was no place for her to stay. I don't know what conclusion to draw from that, except that, wow, you know, to me, they didn't have much help at all. It wasn't because she was pregnant with a child before they were married. Were they shunned? I don't know what's behind it, but to me, it just light bulb kind of went off in my head that I always pictured them just being alone in this strange town, but everybody had to come for that census. And here they are, they find themselves in a manger. Now, let me tell you, if my wife's pregnant, and I have some family members and they're not giving her a place to stay, I'm taking them out of that room and giving my wife the room, you know. But if I think of the loneliness that they must have suffered, you know, to be surrounded so close to possible family. And again, I could be wrong here, I don't know, but this I know. But here they are, they're in the manger, and she's about to give birth. And just alone, and what a place to give birth. It's just not even sanitary in the least. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now, I think it's awesome how the Lord came to shepherds. These were outcasts. Darren talked about this last Sunday, that shepherds weren't really special. They were dirty too. They couldn't even go into the temple because they were unclean. But yet, the Lord decides to tell them first before anybody about what's going on here. And then they were filled with fear. These are men that their job is to save sheep. Now, sheep are stubborn. They go to places they shouldn't go and find themselves in trouble where they should be in trouble. And so for them to fear, this was something of just a huge thing to where they feared what the Lord was saying. And the angels were in 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I'll tell you what, if I was there, I'd be pretty fearful too. But what an awesome thing happening that these shepherds get to see. And so when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. Again, another lesson to be learned here is when the Lord speaks, go. And go with haste. Oftentimes, I drag my feet. "No, Lord, I don't want to do it. It's too hard. Why me? I'm nothing." And these shepherds were ready to go and went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph. And to me, that word is search until found. And sometimes we have to search and find what the Lord's telling us to do. And I think it's so important. They didn't give up. They knew they were on a mission. The Lord sent them on. And so they found the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Again, that just concerning what the Lord is saying is so important. Again, to ponder these things. Lord, what are you doing here? How can I trust you more? And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And I just think it's just so neat that these shepherds come. And they're searching and trying to find Jesus, and they find him. And then they tell Mary these things. And again, here they are, these shepherds. They probably haven't bathed. They're nothing special, but they have a message from the Lord. And I think it's so important to us, too. Sometimes we think we have to be so qualified on giving a word to somebody or even teaching somebody. But if our knee is bent to the Lord, if we give him our heart, he can use each one of us, no matter what our education is, no matter how. I do not like public speaking. I mean, I protest every time I have to do this, you know. But if the Lord wants to use me, then use me, Lord. And he used these shepherds that were low and outcast. But he likes to use those kind of people. He likes to use weak people because he shines through them He's made strong through our weaknesses. And so my encouragement too is never fear that you're not capable, or that you can't give a message, or that you can't share Christ with somebody because you don't have this kind of background or that background. He wants to use you right where you are. And if he gives you a message, I encourage you to deliver it. All right, we're going to go back to Matthew. We're almost... I'm just rushing through this. I'm sorry, but I had a lot, but again, food. Okay. And so then in our manger set, we usually have the shepherds and the wise men. That's not really an accurate account of what happened. Now, the shepherd men have come, and they told Mary and Joseph what they were told and what they saw. And now, the wise men are coming, and Jesus is already a toddler at this point. The wise men come with the frankincense and the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. And we know each one of those, the gold is for a king, the frankincense is for a priest, and the myrrh is for a burial. And so it's pretty neat that these wise men knew kind of what was going on here. And so it was awesome for that to happen. Then the dreams come for... Now Mary and Joseph have to get up again and leave and flee, because now Herod found out about this through the wise men. And I think here you have this story of just great trial, great suffering, and also great hope. And now they have to flee. Probably word got to them that these babies died because of King Herod and his jealousy. And Darren touched on this last Sunday too, or two Sundays ago, about King Herod, how he was an Edomite. He was from the lineage of Esau. Wasn't even supposed to be king there, and yet he was. And with these wise men telling him what happened, he became jealous and enraged. And now he murdered these two and under male boys. You know, how sad, how depressing. There's often times where I feel like the Lord gives me something on my heart, and I just keep feeling like I run into a wall no matter which direction I go. How can this be, Lord? You told me this is what you want me to do, where to go, and it's not smooth, it's not happening. And again, I just think of Mary and Joseph, you know, here, just one trial after another. It's not ideal circumstances that they find themselves in one bit. And now they're fleeing, and now King Herod kills these babies, and these toddlers, and it's just so sad and depressing. And it wasn't until, probably 28 years later that Mary started seeing the fruition of what was prophesied. Sometimes these things the Lord gives us on our heart aren't going to happen tomorrow, but we have to keep trusting. And to me, this is a story of great trust in the Lord. And then Mary, here she has her son in the manger, this dirty place, and then she has to watch her son die on the cross. What a hardship for a mom to go through, I think, in my opinion. And I think it's awesome to hear the sacrifices that were made, the trust in the Lord. And it's a beautiful story. What other time do we celebrate by giving each other's gifts because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? You know, if he was born, that wasn't enough. He had to die and rise again for us. And he did those things. And here we get this joy, this peace that passes all understanding. And then we get to celebrate by giving each other gifts. You know, and I just think, what an awesome thing that we have, that through this hardship, through this suffering, through these trials, that we get to have this awesome amount of freedom. We get life in heaven, and we get to see Jesus one day. And to me, what a beautiful love story for us. And my prayer is that we would just trust the Lord no matter what trials, what suffering we have to go through. And as we celebrate tomorrow the birth of Jesus, that we can just remember that it wasn't easy. And this walk that we walk is not easy. For some of us, tomorrow is going to be a great time of family get-togethers. For others, it's going to be a sad time of loneliness or trials with family members. But let us remember that our mission is to follow God. We have a goal here on earth, and that is just to declare His name, to tell as many people as we can about His glory and His wonder. And listen, if Jesus went through these trials, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and He came down here in flesh, gave up His kingdom for us, and walked a life of suffering, then we can be encouraged in that the suffering that we go through, that He can bring us through that He can show us the way. But it's not easy, folks. His life wasn't easy here, and yet he did it, and he had a mission through the Lord. And so let us ponder these things. Let us consider these things, especially those trials that we run into. Lord, help me, show me. And then let us stay steadfast, have those blinders on to where we can only see what's in front of us, and just trust the Lord. But that's all I have. I was amazed by the story.
Before you close us out in prayer and we get to the food and stuff like that, if there is like one thing you could say, we've got different guests here and folks that, and I don't know who knows the Lord and who doesn't, but you know, if there's one thing that you could, I don't know if they'll ever be back again or whatever, if there's one message that you could give them about this Jesus, what would that be? I mean, if this, I know I was kind of putting you on the spot, it's not planned, and so no pressure, that's just how we roll. So what would you say to somebody out here who may or may not know Jesus? Then,
yeah. I guess what I would say to that is, and for my own personal walk, there is oftentimes I dealt with a lot of confidence issues of who I was in Christ, and because I just didn't feel worthy enough. And I know Amy, my wife, felt that way too. But here, we have Jesus that came down for us, was born in a manger, again, just a filthy place. But he came for us. What other love story is out there? What can you find where someone comes down and they die for your sins? And you are worthy. He came for the whole world. And so my only thing is, if you find yourself in that manger of just filth and base manure, that there you can be cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is hope for you. For those of us that are walking really high right now or really doing well, don't forget about the Lord. Consider these things and be ready for those hardships to come. Right, again, I just encourage you, that those that don't know the Lord, that He is there. He wants you as you are. You don't have to try to clean yourself up. It's not going to happen. The kingdom is ready. So that would be my encouragement. And Lord, we just come to you tonight, Father, again, just with just thankfulness on my heart, Lord, for giving your Son for me, Lord, and the way in which you did it. I just think of the prophecies that were fulfilled and how you accomplished those prophecies, Lord God. Again, I just pray for those that don't know you tonight, Lord, that really are just struggling, or that don't even think they struggle, that there has been a price paid for them, Lord God, and that was through the blood of your Son, Lord. I pray that they would enter the kingdom just one degree away of making a choice, being completely changed and completely filled with your love and your peace, Lord God. I pray for those that are struggling today, Lord. Sometimes these times that are made to be a wonderful celebration can be the saddest of days too for some, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them, that you encourage them, Lord God, and that you would let them know that they are loved, Lord. And so we lift up tonight, we lift up the food. I just pray for the fellowship tonight, Lord, that we would just honor you with all of our talk. And again, we are so thankful for your Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen.